Proverbs 21, and we got Mindy and Natalie singing tonight. Come on, ladies, get right in place, ready to go. And as soon as we get our pianist up and ready, we'll be ready to go. And we will have a song, and then Proverbs 21, two handouts to give you tonight in just a moment, so the fellows will have those ready as soon as the song is over. Thank you. Outstanding. Be careful. There you go. Amen. Wonderful. All right. Let's get you a handout tonight, number 28, and also a review sheet. Just the first 55 lessons. We've done 54. We will do one tonight. tonight, so you'll get two handouts and take a moment for the ushers to do that. But rather than come back a second time in a little while, we'll just do both of them now. So you'll get the first 55 lessons out of the book of Proverbs on the subject of wisdom. We have been on this now for 1 year exactly. We began it last year this Wednesday night, a year ago. And of course, we miss out once in a while for missions conferences or other things. So we don't have 52 lessons, but we do have this 55 that we've covered so far, okay? We don't have 52 Wednesday night fulls of lessons, but we do have 55 lessons we'll be talking about here. Number 55. All right? Get it right here in a second. Figure it all out. So, ushers, you get those out for us. That'll be helpful. Proverbs 21. There are two verses I want to draw your attention to. Verses 9 and 19. So, we'll give you just a second. I knew it was going to take a little bit of time. That's all right. We're in good shape. Hope you'll stick the one in your Bible. Look at it later. It's just a reference point. And the handout that we'll be looking at tonight is number 28. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege to have a Bible in our possession. Help us tonight as we teach from it. Fill us with your power and speak to our hearts. And Lord, may this be a helpful lesson, I pray, a very needed one. In Jesus' name and amen. Living Wisely, principle number 55. Is from the two verses in the book, in chapter 21, verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. So the lesson tonight is this. The wise understand the result of brawling women. I don't know what else to... it's funny, but yet at the same time, I am as convinced tonight that I should be teaching this lesson as I am of anything else because of all that's transpired in our nation. Ladies, I don't want you to get upset or think for 1 minute that I'm picking on the female gender to the exclusion of the males. That's not what this is about. These are very timely verses in our study on wisdom from Proverbs. Very timely. I just spoke Monday morning, Bible class to the high school on the importance of godly feminine ladies in our country. Just talked about that on Monday. We swapped periods so I could leave a little early. I finished at about 10 after 11. I had lunch with my wife. By 12:15, I was on the road to Carterville. I tell you, I don't often listen to Rush Limbaugh, but it's the transition time in the government. I'm just interested with all the whirlwind that's going on right now in D.C. And so I turned him on for a few minutes, and he was talking about the Women's March that took place, I think, Saturday. And I really didn't. All I knew is that the women had marched. That's all I knew. Goodness gracious. I don't want to encourage you to listen to it, but at the same time, you almost need to listen to it. He played an excerpt of a speech from a woman named Ashley Judd. Now, folks, I've been 37 years this May working with people in the position of a pastor, assistant pastor. You work with a lot of problems. You understand what I'm saying? And you get to the place where you think you've seen and heard it all, where nothing much shocks you. I was stunned. I could not believe what came out of that woman's mouth in public. And those women out there cheering like a bunch of football fans. I didn't hear what Madonna said. I know Madonna said she'd been doing a whole lot of thinking about blowing up the White House. I'm going to tell you something. If I had said that from this pulpit when that black man was in the office, they'd have come after me. They don't tell the truth. But and somebody told me that she just was profane. Ashley Judd was she was delusional. She's vile. I don't know who Ashley Judd is. Somebody told me they thought she was a country and western singer. I don't know, but she was vile. Vile. Filth. No, you got a problem. By the way, what did I speak on this Sunday night? I don't know what Mr. Trump's going to do. I have my issues with him. I like some of the things he's done. Remember, somebody said one time, you judge a man by who are his enemies. So if we go on that judgment alone, he's already off. I'm telling you, that was vile. If you haven't heard it, I don't think you need to, but I think you need to. Don't listen to it in front of your girls. It'll shock you. And maybe most of you heard excerpts. Y'all remember Tim Stewart? Tim Stewart, the general contractor from Mantino up here, did this building. I called him on Monday about a question I had on my house, foundation on my house. And so we howdied for a little bit. I said, man, how you been? He said, I just got back from the inauguration. I said, really? He said, I've never had been. He said, so my wife and I went out for the inauguration. He said, it was really amazing. I said, you mean you didn't stay for the Women's March? And without hesitation, he said, we got caught up in it. See, we're walking down the sidewalk. My wife had an inaugural button on her sweater or her coat. And immediately these women came with these signs and said, I'm with the Nazi Party and the KKK, and arrows, walking beside Mrs. Stewart, pointing the arrows to her. They were there. Mantino, Illinois. Tim professes to be saved. We talked about that at length when he did this building. I think Tim Stewart's a decent man. And they're Midwestern America, Midwesterners out in Washington, D.C. for inauguration and get treated like that by a bunch of brawling. So if you want to know the word, if you want to know the definition of the word brawling, just go see what happened in Washington, D.C. this past weekend. Have we really stooped that low as a nation? I didn't appreciate Mr. Obama's election, but I don't remember any conservatives taking to the streets like this has been the last few days. It's just out of control. You have to wonder if that's the essence of the liberal Democratic Party. Is that really what they are? It's sick. It's sick. It's demented. Now, God had Solomon put two verses in the same, well, it wasn't the chapters back then, but two verses in what we know as chapter 21 on the same subject. And look at chapter 25, verse 24. So just three pages over, chapter 25, verse number 24. It's almost a complete repeat of verse 9. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. So folks, three times Solomon basically said, anywhere you can find to live is better than living with a brawling woman. Right? In the corner of the housetop, if you have to go to the wilderness, just if you live with a brawling woman, you better find somewhere else to live. That's what he said. Now, we're living in a country with a bunch of brawling women. And this is the danger. Let me talk about tonight the danger a country faces when there are many brawling women. And you high school ladies that were in school on Monday in the class, and you men that were there, you're going to hear some of what I said on Monday. I had no idea when I was teaching you at 10:30 on Monday morning that had taken place in D.C. I had no idea. But I want to show you tonight. Look at Psalms 144. Let me show you the result of brawling, the danger, why it's so dangerous, okay? And the result of brawling women, all right? Psalm 144, and I don't have time tonight. David is praying for his nation, and he's rejoicing in God's blessing on Israel, and he's asking God to prosper it. And in verse number 13, he talks about the garners being full and the sheep bringing forth thousands and ten thousands. Verse 14, that our oxen may be strong. And so there's great commerce here and economy that is doing well. No breaking out, nor breaking in or going out. No crime. That there be no complaining in our streets. And so he's asking for the prosperity of his nation. But before he asks for crops and flocks and good commerce and good economy, before he asks for any of that, in verse number 12, This is his prayer, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. So he prays for the sons and daughters of his nation. He desires for the sons to be as plants. He desires for the daughters to be as polished cornerstones. That's quite a prayer request, isn't it? So I was thinking about this, and this is not new to you if you've been here for a while. I told this several years ago. But plants, that our sons may be as plants. Plants are productive. Plants put something into our world. Carbon dioxide, is it dioxide? Isn't it carbon dioxide? Yeah. And fruits and nuts and vegetables and oils. Medicinal products. I told you about Madagascar, going through that lemur park, our first visit there, and this guide is telling us about the monkeys, but he's also saying, see that plant right there? We use that for a sore throat. That plant right there we use for stomach aches. That plant we use over there for earaches. That plant's medicinal in nature. They produce. And he prays that the boys, you want to see what a place is like that doesn't have any productive plants? It's called the Sahara Desert. It's barren. Nobody lives there much. So what he's saying is this, number two on your sheet here, a nation's productivity rests on the backs of productive men. A nation's productivity rests on the backs of productive men. And David knew productive men are made in their youth. You've heard me say, if you start teaching your boys to have a good work ethic when they're 18, you're late. You're late. You've got to start while they're in their youth, okay? Boys are men under construction. And so he is asking for the boys of Israel to grow up from their youth with a good work ethic. And here's the reason, folks. He knows that the productivity of the entire nation sits on the backs of a healthy male gender that knows how to work. That's what's wrong with our country. Okay? So I'm not going to belabor that because I want to get to the subject matter at hand. So that's for the boys. Then it's interesting. He talks about the girls, the daughters, being cornerstones polished. Polished cornerstones. Now, it's interesting to research the definition of a cornerstone. There are two interesting descriptions or definitions, okay? Number one or number three on your sheet here. A cornerstone was the most important stone laid in the foundation of a building. The cornerstone was the most important stone laid in the foundation of a building. Now, it was not always visible. Sometimes it was underground. And a foundation, number four, a foundation without a square cornerstone will result in the whole building being out of square. Okay? Now, I brought my toys tonight to church. Amen? So I got my toys here. A cornerstone. Okay? And this wall is going to come off of this side of that cornerstone. And this wall is going to come off of this side of this cornerstone. And folks, if the two sides of this cornerstone aren't perfect, then those walls are going to be out of square. The two walls, now they start building these walls up. Get my toys out here. Whatever happened to little wooden blocks, amen, you know, wooden blocks, you know. But anyway, so these walls start going up, okay, and that has to be completely level. That side of that cornerstone has to be completely level. If this side right here, the top of this cornerstone is off, then this wall is going to be off. The most important, the two walls are joined together. I think that's number five. The two walls joined together. And the most important point in that joint is at the cornerstone. The most important joint's right here. As far as it keeping it straight, right? As far as keeping it pure. As far as keeping it in line. As far as keeping it square. That's right here. This is the most important stone in the foundation. It's got to be perfect. How many times have builders, especially when you're doing a remodel, gotten in? I was right in on this building right here. Not this part, but that part back there. When they were breaking things down and getting ready, it was out of square. And it caused issues. It caused issues for us because the building was out of square. So the angle on the cornerstone was not 90 degrees. And if the angle is not 90 degrees here, and if this thing is not perfectly flat and even here, then the whole building is not square. So great care had to be taken to make sure the cornerstone was square. And fellows, you know, they didn't have... Do not think for one minute that these people living in that day were stupid. All you got to do is look at the pyramids down in Egypt. It's incredible. But they didn't have all the power tools that we have today. They couldn't go plug it into an outlet. And now you got all those 20-volt ion battery-powered tools that you use it until the battery starts going, you chunk the battery into a charger, put another one in. I mean, it's incredible what we have to work with today. They didn't have power tools. So I would imagine that that cornerstone was the result of being shaped and cared for mostly by hand. I imagine the work was all done by hand. But it had to be square because it was the most important stone in all the foundation. Are we on the same page? Right? We are right there. Okay. Now, number 6 on your page here. The second thing about cornerstones. A cornerstone was sometimes placed at the top of the structure. Sometimes placed at the top of the structure. So if we can forget this wall that's behind here and just, okay, the wall is going up and it's going up and it's going up and it's going up and it's going up and right at the very top now, the top of the structure, and they're going to take and they're going to place there a very ornate, decorated, adorned cornerstone because it's visible. It was visible. It was at the top. And so great care was taken to make it ornate and beautiful. So this cornerstone's important. And this cornerstone is important. Number 7, cornerstones were sometimes decorated and adorned with colors. It was very eye-catching. Okay? All right. Now, what does this have to do with Israel's daughters? What does it have to do with our daughters? A nation's productivity rests on the backs of productive men. But number 8 on your sheet, a nation's morality rests on the backs of pure, straight women. A nation's morality rests on the backs of pure, straight women. A nation's morality is only as square as its women's morality. Case in point. Couple of cases from your Bible. Egypt was a nation filled with lewdness. Filled with immorality. Remember when Aaron made the golden calf? Which was a god like unto the ones an idol like the ones they worshiped down in Egypt. And what was one of the things that they were guilty of when Moses came down off the mountain, he found them what? Naked. Now probably not naked in the sense that, you know, but where biblical nakedness. Okay? Well, that was part of Egyptian culture. It was very lewd and immoral, and Potiphar's wife is a good picture of it. Potiphar's wife in the... Folks, where do you think Potiphar's wife fits in the, if you want to say, so, the classes of the society there? Where does Potiphar's wife fit? In the upper crust? And she was filthy. She went after Joseph. Rome was filled with immorality. Rome was filled with lewdness. Rome was filthy. Herod took his brother's wife. But don't think she was innocent. She had John beheaded. Because he rebuked them for their sin. Their immorality. Now look, I'm not placing the entire blame for immorality on the backs of women. But I'm saying a nation's morality rests on the morality of its women. If a nation's morality rested on the backs of the men, the level of morality would always be low. But it doesn't. It rests on the backs of the women. This is not just preaching. I mean, it is Bible teaching, but can I quote somebody from history tonight that wasn't a preacher? Can I quote one of our founding fathers, Mr. John Adams, second president of the United States? Wasn't he George Washington's vice president? And then second president of the United States? And John Adams said this, I quote to you, number 9 on your sheet, if women lose sight of their own moral compass, no other institution or governmental agency will be able to save the nation. And folks, you read what John Adams said. He even went on to say that the Constitution of the United States, for it to work, it depends on a moral people. And if you don't have a moral people, and I think he might have even used the term religious, so if you don't have a moral and religious people, this form of government's not going to work. And then he went on to say this about the women. This is not a slap at women. It's really quite a compliment to you ladies. If women lose sight of their own moral compass, no other institution or governmental agency will be able to save the nation. The women's morality determines the morality of a country. That's why David prayed that the daughters would be as a cornerstone, foundational, straight, exact, pure, clean, right, square. And yeah, by the way, you know, there's a cornerstone at the bottom. There is sometimes a cornerstone at the top too. And it's ornate and decorated. And it's okay for the women to be pretty physically, but it is essential that they be pure. Does that make sense? So, number 10 on our sheet here tonight, a couple of lessons. Chastity is far more important than physical beauty. Chastity is far more important than physical beauty. Ladies, it's not wrong to work at physical beauty. Not wrong to work at physical beauty, but it is more important to work at moral purity. Far more. If it's great, again, it's wonderful. If the cornerstone at the top of the building, if the cornerstone at the top, and that very, and by the way, remember Brother Mickey Carter preaching here on lily work? That's what he's talking about, those cornerstones at the top where all that lily work. It's okay if that's ornate and beautiful, that's wonderful. It's okay, it's great, but it, and I think this is number 11, it is essential that the cornerstone and the foundation. Folks, I don't care how pretty and ornate and decorated with color your top cornerstone is, if this cornerstone is not square and right, it's going to be off. So this is good, this is good, this is essential. Big difference. So what are you saying? I'm saying if you can only major on one with your daughters, major on moral purity. If you only have time to do so much with your devotions and your working and your teaching, major on the moral purity. Major on it. David, pray. Look. On these corners out here, okay, this is not the exterior wall. Out there's the corridor behind these walls, and then you've got that block wall that's the exterior wall. Block on the inside, brick on the outside, right? What's up in the two corners of this, the two, where these walls meet up here at that point out there? You ever seen those ovals that say FBC? Well, that's fine. That's great. That's a nice touch. But it's far more important that this stone out here where the two footings meet is correct. Right. Because that determines the straightness of the whole wall. You with me? Okay. So, ladies, if you're going to major on something with your daughters, chastity is far more important than physical beauty. David prayed for the daughters of his kingdom to be morally pure. And if so, by the way, that makes them beautiful. Number 12, morality makes a woman beautiful. Morality makes a woman beautiful. There's something elegant and beautiful about a woman adorned with moral purity. Just absolutely. And a woman may possess physical beauty, but if underneath there is a... I don't know Ashley Judd. I wouldn't know. If you showed a picture of her to me and said, who is this? I wouldn't have the slightest idea what she looks like. I don't know if she has dark hair, blonde hair, curly hair, straight hair. She's tall, short, heavy or skinny. I don't know. I don't know what she looks like. But if she is physically pretty... with that loose, promiscuous, vile spirit, she's not very pretty. And if a woman is like that, like these women out here in Washington, D.C., it's better to live anywhere where she is not. Anywhere. Get out of the house. Live on the rooftop. Live in the wilderness. Go anywhere where she's not, but get away from her. Now, that's hard to do if you marry her. So you better be careful. Non-thinking parents put the emphasis on the outward beauty rather than the inward beauty. You got to major on the inward beauty. Number 13, write it down. Major on daughters being good more than on looking good. Major on daughters being good more than on looking good. And by the way, I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen where all the emphasis was put on, oh, you look, and comments were made comparing a daughter to other girls in the church and the school. She's heavy than you. She's too skinny. She's too heavy. She's got this problem. She's got that problem. You're so pretty. Look. Girls need to be told they're pretty. They need to be told they're pretty little girl from their dads. They need to be told that helps a girl. But if you're going to major on something, you better if you want to compliment them on being good rather than looking good. Then number two, let me say this tonight, which is number 14 on your sheet, work at growing feminine graces. Work at growing feminine graces. Now, I don't know where you're going to find all the feminine graces. There's a lot of feminine graces in the Bible. And you got Ruth and her spirit and her attitude. You got others like, different ones in the Old Testament. Of course, you got 1 Peter chapter 3, where the Bible there, and Peter talks about, the hidden man of the heart and the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. When you read those passages, what is portrayed in the passages of the Bible is far different than the tough, hard, cussing, jean-wearing, swaggering female who can hold her own with the boys. And do you know that in our public schools, in some places, there is something that is called assertiveness training? Assertiveness training. By definition, it was designed to help bashful girls and shy girls have confidence. But in the assertiveness training, the end result is these girls are encouraged to be brash and rude and cruel and profane and immodest and crude and immoral and loud and aggressive. And when you combine that with what they're watching on MTV and the reality TV shows that show these hard, you ought to hear her. Tot, where me, where, boy, they use the profane language. It's sick. It's mental sickness and spiritual just wickedness. And you combine the teaching that they're getting at school with all these TV shows, and it's no wonder we're growing a nation. Now it's tough to hold your own with the boys with the language. I can cuss with the best of them. Well, that's horrible. Number 15 on your sheet here, when the women of a nation possess the graces outlined in God's Word, they will automatically be treated with a high degree of respect and chivalry. It follows. Wherever Christianity goes, the treatment of women goes up. When the women of a nation possess the graces outlined in God's Word, they will automatically be treated with high degree of respect and chivalry. But when the morality of a woman has disintegrated to unseemly depths, then the treatment of them follows suit. You know, I was thinking about this. Strong women don't bother me. And the truth of the matter, strong-willed women don't bother me. Rebellious women bother me. There's a big difference. People, you don't think Ruth was a strong woman? To leave her home and go to a nation where Moabite people were considered heathens? And go to the field and glean all day? You think she's a wallflower? She's a strong woman. Extremely strong. She wasn't rebellious. Big difference. Number 16, it is very possible to be feminine and possess great strength of character and resolve. Very possible to be feminine and possess great strength of character and resolve. It's very possible, 17, to be both submissive and strong, to possess strength and beauty. It's very possible to be both submissive and strong, to possess strength and beauty. You say, Pastor, how do you know all that? You talk like you know you're a man. How do you know that? Yes, I am a man, but I've been married for almost 37 years to a woman just like the one I described to you. She is strong but submissive. And she has strength and beauty. She's moral. She's clean. She's pure. She's straight. She's right. And it influenced the girls who grew up in our home. I'm just simply saying tonight, folks, we can't change the nation necessarily. But we can do something to help our homes. We can do something to help our homes. We can do something to help this church, and that is rear these feminine, godly, graceful women who aren't anything like what took place in Washington, D.C. this past week. That's why our nation's morality is where it is. When you got talk like that, and you say, well, that was just a small percentage. No, they were all over the country. Am I right? Somebody said they were in Chicago. Same stuff. So, and by the way, I don't need to add this, but I just would like to. Don't forget that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church. And He is the cornerstone of the foundation, as well as the foundation itself. And He is also that cornerstone placed at the top of the institution. Jesus is what is beautiful about the church. He is the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. Go home and applaud morality. Go home and applaud being good. If you want to work at having your daughters look nice, I think that's great. Don't dress them up at 13 like Hollywood stars. I'm not against makeup, but I am amazed that the 11 and 12 year olds show up looking like they're 20. What kind of nonsense is that? That girl's going to be an adult most of her life. Let her be a girl. Let her be a girl. And I don't think you've ever heard me say, if the barn needs painting, paint it. You never heard me say that. I don't think that's very flattering. It must be talking about us men. We're the barns. I'm thankful. I am thankful for the host of meek and quiet spirit, folks. Doesn't necessarily mean a meek and quiet personality. I've used this before. Loretta Walker has a crazy personality, but she has a meek and quiet spirit. She's submissive. Now, she's got a fun personality, but that's not what the Bible says. It says meek and quiet spirit. So I appreciate those of you ladies in this church who have those biblical graces, and I just want to encourage you, major on that with your daughters. Major on that with your daughters, because the morality of a nation rests on the backs of the morality of its women. And that's why David said, God, make our daughters like a polished cornerstone. Right there. Let's stand. Thank you for being here tonight. I could not believe we came to that chapter at this time. So I didn't think I was stretching to bring this lesson tonight. Amen. Father in heaven, help us, bless us, please. What's going on in our country is sickening. Our hearts were just shocked and shamed, Lord, by what took place out there. Those folks need to fall under the deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. They need to see themselves as sinners. They need to come to Christ and be regenerated, changed. I feel for this lady, Ashley Judd and Madonna. Lord, they're going to be separated into a Christless hell someday if they don't get saved. And I pray that you'd help, please, Lord, help us keep the influence of that type of woman out of our homes. Help us to major on that inward beauty and that chivalry and that chastity that is so necessary, that purity for our well-being. Please touch our homes and help us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll give a second. Please play it.